It's time for Ruination Repeat, recapping last week's shows.
I'm not the only one who could use a little bit more of the big fatty.
Oh, dear Gussie, dear Gussie, dear sweet Gussie.
Welcome to this week's Ruination Repeat. I'm King.
And I'm Gail.
So, imagine for a second that you have this beautiful, incredibly expensive, like, dry-aged steak.
Oh, I'm already on board.
Right. Now, imagine you're in a total rush, so you decide to throw that absolute masterpiece right into the microwave on high for, like, 3 minutes.
Oh, no. That is a crime.
It is. I mean, sure, the microwave gets the job done faster, right? It's highly efficient. But you completely kill the texture. You absolutely obliterate the flavor.
Yeah, you're just left with this hot, rubbery disaster.
Exactly. So for you listening this week, as we go back through last week's episodes of the Big Fatty Online podcast, so this is covering August 3rd through the 7th, 2026, I want you to keep that microwave steak in the back of your mind.
I like where this is going.
Because what we are really tracking here is the hilarious, constant, and honestly kind of exhausting friction between the things we try to ruthlessly automate or tightly control and the messy, biological, technical chaos that just absolutely refuses to be tamed.
It really is like the eternal human struggle, isn't it?
Totally.
I mean, we spend so much of our waking energy trying to sanitize our lives.
Yay.
We try to impose this rigid mathematical order on a world that is just, well, inherently disorganized.
Yeah, completely.
And what makes last week's BFO broadcast so fascinating is how perfectly they capture that exact tension. I mean, every single time a rigid system is introduced, whether it's software or a schedule or, you know, even a grocery list reality just steps in and completely overrides it.
Right out of the gate, let's start with like the ultimate attempt at rigid control, which is digital technology. We absolutely have to talk about Daniel Bieber's brand new algorithmic tet project.
Oh, yes. Computra.
Yes, a piece of editing software he proudly calls Computra.
The Computra experiment. So Daniel decided to take a recent standard episode of the broadcast and run it through this automated audio editing software.
Right.
And the goal of the algorithm was straightforward. It was perfect efficiency. It was designed to automatically detect and aggressively cut out all the dead air, all the bloopers, the filler words, the musical intros.
And any tangential segments, like, say, a sprawling 5-minute report on grocery shopping.
Exactly. Which, as anyone listening knows, the tangents are the actual broadcast.
Yeah, that's the whole show.
So this cold calculating machine takes a standard 20-minute episode and just violently slices it down to 9.5 minutes.
It's wild. It's stripped away over half of the audio footprint.
Yeah, half.
But I'm going to push back here for a second, because part of me looks at that and thinks, well, isn't a 9.5-minute show objectively better if you're a busy person? Like, we live in an era of double speed listening. If a machine strips away the yawls and the stumbles and the breathing room, doesn't it just give the people the core information they want?
See, that assumes the information is the primary value of the broadcast. But it isn't. The algorithm doesn't understand humanity or community. It optimizes purely for acoustic efficiency, but it just completely misses the psychological context.
Yeah, it misses the vibe.
Completely. The soul of this specific community is entirely built on those imperfections. The stumbles and the tangents, they aren't mistakes. They're the connective tissue.
That's a great way to put it.
When you edit out the humanity to save 10 minutes, you aren't left with a better show. You're left with a sterile data report. You're left with the microwaved steak.
And the funny thing is, Daniel inadvertently proved your point, because he didn't just delete those files.
Oh, the supercut.
Yes. He took all of those rejected audio clippings, like every verbal stumble, every awkward pause, every discarded piece of filler, and he reassembled them into a separate 2-minute supercut.
Just 2 solid minutes of Big Fatty saying y'all and stumbling over his own words.
And that supercut is honestly a masterpiece of algorithmic failure. Because it highlights exactly what the machine thinks is garbage.
Which is actually the best part. And Big Fatty was highly amused by it. He was so entertained that he immediately called into Daniel's own show, The Mix, and threw down a direct challenge.
Oh, I love this part.
He dared Daniel to run his own show through that exact same ruthless computer software, just to see how much of Daniel's content ends up on the cutting room floor.
It's the perfect retort. I mean, the machine comes for everyone eventually.
It really does.
Which actually brings up a wildly hilarious meta twist from Wednesday's show, Big Fatty went on this massive, highly specific rant aimed directly at this very podcast Ruination Repeat.
He absolutely caught us in the crosshairs.
He called out the AI technology behind the show for completely hallucinating details about his life.
Yeah, he was entirely baffled.
Because the AI inexplicably made up a detail that he has a garage, which he unequivocally does not have.
Not at all.
And even better, it hallucinated that his longtime friend Lawrence, you know, Larry Kly, is actually a code name for a rusty car.
I mean, it is so funny, but if we break down the mechanics of why that happens, it's actually incredibly illuminating.
Right, because large language models, which power this kind of AI, they don't actually know anything.
Exactly. They just predict the next most logical word based on massive data sets. They crave recognizable patterns. So when an algorithm encounters highly specific, colloquial human jargon,
like the name Larry Kly spoken in a certain cadence,
right, or references to mechanical issues or obscure community inside jokes, the AI basically panics. It can't find a standard pattern.
So it just forces one.
Yes. It looks at the surrounding context clues, makes a wild mathematical guess, and invents a perfectly plausible but entirely wrong reality. Like a rusty car.
It's just the ultimate proof that you cannot force messy, nuanced human history into a rigid algorithmic box. When the machine doesn't get the joke, it literally rewrites your life.
Precisely. It's wild.
So, okay, if digital control is essentially a fantasy and technology just hallucinates rusty cars when it gets confused, you would think we could at least maintain control over our immediate physical environment, right?
You would hope so.
Just basic everyday reality.
But the physical world struck back with an absolute vengeance this week. I mean, the environment and basic human coordination were in open rebellion.
Oh, we have to talk about the NIP's spectacular domestic disaster.
Please do.
Okay, so the NIP is trying to execute a very basic, highly controlled domestic chore. He needs to wash exactly 4 knives and 4 coffee cups before putting them in the dishwasher.
It doesn't get simpler than that.
The absolute lowest stakes imaginable. But instead of grabbing the Dawn dish soap sitting by the sink, he accidentally grabs a can of Pam cooking spray.
No.
Yes. And he actively squirts the aerosol cooking oil directly onto his dirty knives and cups.
Let's look at the cognitive load failure happening here.
Uh-oh.
We rely so heavily on muscle memory for routine tasks. The brain basically goes on autopilot to save energy. He sees a cylindrical object near the sink. His brain registers cleaning tool. And the physical mechanism just takes over before his conscious mind can even verify what's actually in his hand.
And the actual physics of what happens next are incredible. He is standing there at the sink, scrubbing away, completely baffled as to why his dishes are somehow getting greasier and slicker the more he washes them.
Oh my gosh.
He even sprayed more on, thinking the soap just wasn't activating.
Because oil binds to grease. He's just creating a frictionless surface of pure fat on his glassware.
You literally cannot write comedy that good.
You really can't.
But the MIP isn't the only one dealing with physical chaos. The atmosphere itself decided to join the fray. The weather was absolutely relentless all week.
It was a total deluge. The heavens completely opened up. The area received 2.25 inches of rain on Monday.
That's a lot of rain.
And then, just to ensure total saturation, they got hit with another massive downpour on Thursday.
And that weather didn't just ruin a sunny afternoon. It entirely washed out the Pone Star Old Cement Pond show that Big Fatty's friend Travis was participating in.
Right.
The physical world just obliterated their carefully laid weekend plans.
So this is the central question for you, the listener, right?
Really?
When the digital world is hallucinating fake garages and your friends are actively greasing their coffee cups and the sky is relentlessly flooding your neighborhood,
how do you cope?
Yeah, how do you reestablish a sense of agency?
Well, you execute a hyper-controlled mathematical excursion to Vaughn's East.
You lean into the extreme, rigid parameters of grocery couponing.
Big Fatty's Wednesday Grocery Haul is a masterclass in wrestling control back from a chaotic universe. He didn't just go shopping. He executed a tactical, mathematical strike on the retail algorithms.
Let's look at the BOGO deals he secured. The buy one, get one free deals. It's staggering.
The precision is what stands out. He scored BBOGO deals on Royal Oak briquettes, which he specifically procured for an upcoming trip to a Dollywood cabin.
Because they only have a charcoal grill there.
Exactly. He secured BOGO Cascade dishwasher pods, rainbow sherbet, Italian balsamic vinaigrette, and Gillette razor cartridges.
And he walked out of that store having spent exactly $111.95. but he saved a staggering $98.
That's at the penny. Oh, and let's not forget, he also managed to sniff out Sam's Club gas for $3.39 a gallon.
What we are looking at here is the psychology of microcontrols in times of macro chaos.
Oh, I like that.
When the macro world, you know, the weather, the technology, the people around you, when all of that is unpredictable and messy, math becomes a certainty.
Right.
A buy one, get one free coupon is a binding logical contract. He can't stop the rain, and he can't stop the nip from turning coffee cups into slip and slides, but he can absolutely tangibly verify that he saved exactly $98 at Vaughn's East.
That's a tangible victory.
It acts as a psychological anchor.
I am going to challenge you on that, though.
Okay, go for it.
Is it really a healthy psychological anchor, or is it just obsessive avoidance? I mean, tracking the exact dollar savings down to the penny on bird's eye scheme fresh vegetables seems less like Zen acceptance of a chaotic world and more like, I don't know, building a bunker. Is this just an adult security blanket?
Well, I think it can be both. An anchor and a blanket serve similar purposes, right? They keep you from drifting away in a storm.
Fair point.
The retail environment is entirely synthetic and designed to be predictable. When reality is too much, it is perfectly logical to seek out a synthetic environment where the rules actually make sense.
Well, if we are talking about retreating into synthetic environments where the rules make sense, we have to look at where he goes when the grocery store isn't enough.
Yeah.
Because he dives headfirst into the highly controlled, manufactured drama of reality television.
Which brings us to a very crucial scheduling note that we need to impart to you immediately. This is structural to the community. You must remember this. Big Brother is on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights.
Burn it into your brain, folks. Big Brother is on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights.
And Big Fatty is heavily, deeply invested in the current season.
He really is. He's treating the strategic maneuvers in that reality house with the utmost gravity. He was closely tracking Haley's reign as head of household, a reign he dryly noted is acting quite witchy.
Very witchy. And Haley goes ahead and nominates Melody and Taylor for eviction. But the absolute peak of this manufactured drama was the power of veto competition.
Oh, the infamous poisoned wine competition.
Yes. The house guests had to dress up in these ridiculous old-timey costumes and solve a mystery that involved choosing between glasses of red and white wine.
Right, knowing that one of the glasses was laced with fake poison. And if you get poisoned twice, you're eliminated.
It is peak, highly produced, scripted backstabbing. It's safe chaos.
It's completely synthetic conflict. The lighting is controlled, the rules are explained, and it resolves neatly within a scheduled television block.
But if we connect this to the bigger picture, it creates this incredible juxtaposition with the unscripted, visceral, biological reality of what's happening inside his actual house at the exact same time.
Oh my goodness. Because while he is safely enjoying the fake poison wine of the Big Brother house, his actual house guests are unleashing a biological disaster that reality TV couldn't possibly script. We have to talk about Shart Week.
The ultimate biological rebellion.
Big Fatty is hosting two guests, Alex and Brandon. And Brandon makes a fateful culinary decision. He decides to eat a massive leg of lamb.
An incredibly heavy, rich protein.
And his digestive system completely rejects the premise. Brandon subsequently sharts the guest bed. And not just once, he sharts the bed twice.
The logistics of this are staggering. In the process of dealing with the immediate aftermath in the middle of the night, Alex actually ends up stepping in the fallout that made its way onto the guest room floor.
It's awful. And as if that wasn't enough of a biological nightmare, the lore deepens. Because we find out that Brandon had actually already sharted inside Alex's car earlier that exact same day.
It is a relentless 24-hour sequence of catastrophic human biology.
It is the absolute antithesis of the controlled environment. There is no algorithm, there is no coupon, and there is no scheduled TV block that prepares you for cleaning up lamb-induced digestive fallout from your floorboards at 3 in the morning.
Absolutely none.
So let's look at this wild juxtaposition. He absolutely loves the highly produced, fake backstabbing of Big Brother, the performative paranoia. But when a real-life guest literally ruins his bedsheets multiple times, he handles it with total unfazed stride.
It just becomes another calm story for the broadcast.
Exactly. So I have to ask you, what actually requires more human resilience? Surviving the paranoid poisoned wine gameplay of the Big Brother house? Or surviving a houseguest's lamb-induced shart week?
Oh, surviving the shart week, without a doubt. Reality television requires performative resilience. Real life requires actual grace under extreme, unglamorous pressure.
Yeah, that's so true.
The fact that he can smoothly transition from intensely analyzing Big Brother alliances to just calmly reporting on biological carnage on the guest room floor shows a remarkable, almost unsettling level of emotional regulation.
It really does. And this remarkable ability to just swallow chaos completely alters how he processes major life events. We see this exact same emotional regulation carrying right over into how he handles aging, professional transitions, and even romantic encounters this week.
Because this week was heavily defined by major milestones.
Let's look at the milestones first. We have some major celebrations of exiting the birth canal.
I want to pause on that phrase.
Go ahead.
Celebration of exiting the birth canal remains the most wonderfully clinical way to describe a birthday. And there's a psychology to using clinical language for emotional milestones.
How so?
Well, it's a defense mechanism against the heavy sentimentality of aging. It strips away the anxiety of time passing and just turns it into a biological fact.
Well, Dr. Stone is hitting a massive biological fact this week. He is turning 50, and he is reportedly celebrating this mid-century mark by indulging in Tony's chocolate bars.
The ones with the highly irregular, uneven pieces that make them completely impossible to break cleanly.
Right.
Which feels perfectly poetic for this week's theme of messy reality.
And Big Fatty himself is racking up the birthday loot. His haul so far is just a perfect cross-section of pragmatic aging.
Oh, it really is.
He received a LensCrafters coupon for free prescription sunglasses with the purchase of a frame, a free adult buffet coupon for the Golden Corral, and a 10% off discount at Lowe's.
The ultimate pragmatic birthday haul. But amidst these celebrations, he also faced a significant professional transition over the weekend that would have sent most people into a total spiral.
Right. He drove all the way out to the Metis Complex for the Naked Cement Pond show. Historically, Big Fatty is the announcer for this event. It's his gig. But when he gets there, he finds out entirely after the fact that the new host of the weekend, Atticus, has decided to completely ice him out. Atticus just casually informed him by the pool that he would be handling all the announcing duties himself.
Including the meet and greet at the Capri Lounge later that night.
Yep. Imagine the friction of that moment.
Yeah.
Travel for a gig, you arrive ready to work, and you are summarily dismissed without warning.
And how does Big Fatty react? He doesn't throw a fit. He doesn't burn bridges.
No.
He gracefully, almost clinically, accepts it. Wow. Just noting that it was probably going to be his last year anyway, and it's simply someone else's turn.
He displays absolutely zero ego.
Zero.
And that exact same clinical, ego-free approach is how he handles the romantic events in the love chamber this week.
Yeah. Yes. The arrival of the gentleman callers and the undeniable presence of BBE.
Big ball energy. It is a defining trait. Let's look at the roster. On Tuesday, he reports a visit from a 30-year-old caller. He describes him as tall, skinny, and gifted.
But here is the kicker.
Right. Big Fatty only engaged with this caller after he had properly verified that the Capri Lounge was running low on mixers during happy hour. Priorities.
The logistics always come first. The romantic encounter is secondary to verifying the happy hour inventory.
And then on Friday, the Love Chamber hosts a brand new arrival. A 43-year-old, 6'4", 200-plus-pound construction worker who showed up sporting a mullet.
Coming straight from the job site to finally experience the legendary special chair.
And again, he details both of these highly intimate encounters with the exact same measured, matter-of-fact tone he used to describe his Vaughn's East grocery receipts.
Okay, I have an analogy for this because I really question his emotional compartmentalization here.
Let's hear it.
It feels like he's operating an emotional audio soundboard, right? And every single slider on the board is manually set to a flat volume of 5. He loses a long time announcing gig. Volume 5, he hooks up with a 6'4" construction worker. Volume 5, he sees $98 on dishwasher pods. Volume 5.
That's spot on.
Is this the ultimate form of radical acceptance? Where you just flatten the hierarchy of the human experience so that a rainstorm, a sharded bed, and the special chair all exist on the exact same level playing field?
I honestly believe it is a form of radical acceptance. When you strip away the societal expectation that certain events must be highly dramatic and other events must be boring, you achieve a kind of Zen state.
Huh.
A lost gig isn't a tragedy, it's just a transition. A romantic encounter isn't a fairy tale, it's just an enjoyable evening. By treating all of these experiences as equal data points on that soundboard, he completely neutralizes the anxiety that usually accompanies them.
But doesn't that flatten out the joy too?
Not necessarily, it just removes the pressure. And ironically, that flat hierarchy is exactly what tripped up Daniel Bieber's computer algorithm at the very beginning of our discussion.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Think about it. The machine looks at all this data, the bloopers, the grocery lists, the tangents, and it assumes these are worthless fillers that need to be aggressively deleted to find the real story.
Right, because algorithms demand a traditional hierarchy of importance.
But the machine is fundamentally wrong. It doesn't understand that the messy, unedited reality of grabbing the Pam cooking spray by mistake or calmly accepting a lost gig by the pool is the actual story.
A perfectly edited life is just a sterile highlight reel.
Exactly. It's the microwaved steak. You lose all the flavor. Which leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to really mull over today.
Yeah, think about your own life.
If you had a software program that could instantly edit out all the bloopers, the verbal stumbles, the mundane grocery runs, and the boring routines of your everyday existence, would you actually use it?
Or would you realize that those awkward, incredibly messy moments are actually the main event?
Something to think about. Before we go, we have one mandatory, highly enthusiastic reminder for the calendar.
Big Fatty's celebration of exiting the birth canal is on Monday.
Do not forget to send your regards. Thank you all so much for tuning in and mapping out this beautifully messy week with us. I'm King.
And I'm Gail.
We invite you to join us right back here for next week's show. Until then, keep your progressive lenses clean, watch out for the cooking spray, and we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next Sunday here on Ruination Repeat.